Zoe, who's, I don't see her here today, she's dealing with health issues, but she has told me, she said, Bruce, I really like those messages relating to songs. And I told her back a few years ago, I said, I'm going to do some more of those. She's going to be leaving, going to Indiana, I believe, here before too long. So I wanted to get them some of these for before she left. So that's what we're going to do today. And the song we're going to take a look at is the song, Because He Lives. We sing it here at this church. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the song and then take a look at some of the message in the song. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about singing, about song, and what the Bible has to say. It actually has quite a bit to say about singing and about song, and it really relates to our lives. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts and to remind us that we have a song to sing in our lives, those that know the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And again, we are grateful for the rain. We think of families over in the central part of the state and the West Coast who are, some have lost their homes. And we just pray for them. And we are grateful for the rain. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy that gives us what we need in our lives. And Lord, as we talk about song and singing today, help us to really get a hold of this very thought that we have got something to sing about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we were born to sing. I was thinking about when our children were all still in the womb, that I used to sing to them. I'd get right up on Deb's stomach that looks like she'd swallowed a watermelon, and I'd sing to all three of our kids. Now, it might be that's why two out of our three don't have anything to do with singing to this day. You know, we sing and to our children, and we teach our children songs early on. I can think now about the songs we sang to our little guys, and now we're singing to their children. And we sing to soothe them, to help them to nod off to sleep, and to teach them things. And as we sing, when we work, we sing and whistle while we work. And some of us sing along with the radio, our CD, if you still have a CD player in your vehicle. Some sing along to iPhones in our vehicles. The really brave ones will sing karaoke in public. That's the brave ones. Organizations, colleges and high schools, branches of the military, nations all have their own songs. And those songs are intended to emphasize important concepts and to stir appreciation and to spur dedication to causes and to beliefs. Now, a lot is said about singing in the Bible, and early on we read a passage. This is in the book of Job, and it's actually a very interesting conversation, Job 38 and verse 7. I ask Eddie if he'd pull that verse up. And we're not going to look at all these verses, but I'm going to touch on some of them. Early on in creation, it makes an interesting statement. God does. This is a conversation that God points towards Job. Job has been complaining about matters and kind of questioning God. And chapter 38, I'm not going to have Eddie pull it up, but it says, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. He said, 'Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words?' And then he says, 'Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them.'" And the conversation there is basically God says, "Job, were you around when I set this up, this physical universe?" And the point being there, Job, if you can't figure out what's going on in the physical realm, you're out of your depth when it comes to the moral world and what God intends and plans. But what it says here in verse 7, it says that when God created all that we know, it says the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Creation, There was exuberant gladness. You know, I had listened to a podcast recently that talked about that the very universe vibrates to this day. And the world in which we live is moving. And it's singing out that there is a great creator, a recognition of the greatness of God in his creation. And, you know, from time to time, we kind of get yanked to a stop to realize that this place that we're living in is an incredible, incredible thing that God has done. And so even the morning stars sang together as God created this great place. We're not going to turn to it, but in Exodus chapter 15, Moses and all the people of God sing a song about their deliverance from Egypt. It's a great song. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you want to take notes, Moses is coming to an end of his career, and he ends his career with a song. And it's a long song. You can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In chapter 40, I want to read this verse for you of the Psalms, Psalm 40 and verse 3. I want to read this psalm, and I'll ask Eddie if you'll please bring that up as well. Psalm 40 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord." Now, if you read the whole context, you'll know that this psalm, this song that's being sung, and this exhortation to sing comes about when God delivered the writer from a difficult situation. And you know, sometimes in our lives, when our back's against the wall and there is deliverance, boy, it's easy to sing, isn't it? Sometimes we just bust right out with a song and don't even care who's around to hear it. We just got something to sing about. And that's what he's saying. He's given me a new song to sing. Let's go to Psalm 66 as well, verses 1 and 2. Many of you know this verse, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And we read here in this translation, "Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is." We go now to Psalm 68, and let's take a look at another passage here, 68 verse 32. The psalm writer says, "Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord." And so in the Old Testament, we read about lifting our voices and singing about God and singing to God. But we also read in the New Testament, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and they were having a dust up, having a little struggle over some of the spiritual gifts, particularly the issue of speaking in tongues and how it was supposed to take place. But he has a concept here that we shouldn't overlook and as we sing. And let's start in verse 15. He writes, he says, "Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand." I'm going to read on here, and if you'll continue to bring those verses up, if you would, Eddie. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you are saying? Verse 17, you will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. And so we recognize that the intent of singing is that we would understand, but also others who are hearing the words would understand as well and be blessed as a result of it. And he said, you know, basically what he's saying is don't park your brains at the door. That understand what you're singing. And don't just thoughtlessly go through the motions, but sing and understand what you're singing. And understand also that as we sing, we are giving testimony to who God is and what he's done. And so it's important, singing and congregational singing. What we do here, we don't want to just go through the motions, but we want to actually give praise to God. Don't you agree with that? That makes a lot of sense. And maybe somebody who has come in beat up in their life and they would hear what is being sung would be encouraged by that. And that's the intent of that. Let's read a little bit more as well about singing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 and 19. And Paul is writing to another group of believers in a city called Ephesus. He says this, "Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts." He goes on to write to another group of believers in Colossae. Look at the book of Colossians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, and Eddie, if you could please bring those up as well. He echoes the same message to the church there. "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." You know, sometimes we lose our song, don't we? The pressures of life, family problems, sickness, financial stress that comes into our lives. And maybe we realize it's been a long time since I caught myself singing. It's been a long time since there's been a song in my heart. Jesus said this. He said, and this is in Luke chapter 6, basically said, what we say flows from what's going on in our hearts. What comes out of us is an indication of what's going on inwardly. And so our hearts can get dry, and so does our song. And maybe today, you know, you hadn't thought about it in a long time, but maybe you just think, you know what, it's been a good while since there has been a song in my heart of praise or thanks to God. Maybe events and circumstances have just put a cloud right over your life. We've got something to sing about. I want to just talk a moment about how music itself is a powerful tool. Music communicates messages to our hearts. You know, there are some songs that you can hear, and as soon as you hear it, it communicates a message to you. Music has the power to change attitudes. Why do you think you hear happy music at McDonald's or Burger King or Chick-fil-A? They are wanting you to be happy when you are buying products from them. Music also has the power to inspire us, even in the middle of our difficulties. I thought about a passage. It's Paul and Silas had been arrested. The passage, it's Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read it this morning, but verses 22 through 25. If you read the passage, it says that they had been arrested, had been beaten, they'd been put in shackles and put in prison. And I have a sneaking suspicion that prison wasn't much like the prisons that our folks go to today. And you know what it says? At midnight, they were singing. At midnight, they were singing. And so even in the middle of our difficulties, songs and music can minister to our hearts. You know, the issue is not how well we sing. I like that verse that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people would call it a noise, but you know, if it's intended to be joyful to God, it's a joyful noise. And so the issue is not how well we sing, but the issue is, do we have a song to sing? And if you are in Christ, you do have a song to sing. There's something that you can sing about. Sometimes songs come forth from an overflow of gratitude and thankfulness. That song that we sing, and you no doubt know it well, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. That is a song that comes from an overflow of gratitude. And we have talked about that story of that fellow who wrote that song, and what his life was all about, and how God stopped him in his tracks and changed his life. And through that, he wrote the words, Amazing Grace. Also, we sang and we spoke about this song in our series, Why Me, Lord? That song that Chris Christopherson wrote that Ed and Connie lead us in from time to time, which comes from really an overflow of gratitude for what God has done. At other times, songs are forged out of great sorrow and heartbreak. That song, "It Is Well With My Soul," if you know the story, it was one of the 8 songs that we spoke about a couple years back. An incredible story of how God brought help and comfort to someone who was in great sorrow and incredible loss. He lost 4 daughters in one event, a ship that sunk. But the story is even deeper than that. Before those 4 daughters were lost in that shipwreck, he had a son that died. He was a lawyer in Chicago, and the Chicago fire devastated the city. He lost everything. 100,000 people were left homeless from that Chicago fire. And after he kind of recovered and got his life going again, they had another son that got sick and died. So that song was forged out of sorrow and heartache. And the song that you and I sing a lot around here, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear," another one that is a recognition of real heartache and how that God can speak to us even in our sorrow. And when we sing, we remind ourselves that God is present and that he cares about his creation, us. The song "Blessed Assurance," if you know the words and can recall the words, and that song "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." These are songs that remind us and bring to mind God's great care for us. So in these next few weeks, other than Mother's Day, we'll direct our attention to moms on Mother's Day. We want to continue on with some more songs to tell the story behind the songs and then to consider the truth that's highlighted in the songs. Now, I went through a book. I have a great book, and I would suggest it to you if you really enjoy reading about where songs came from. The title of the book is called "Then Sings My Soul." There's about 300 songs in there. I picked out 25, but I said, I better not do that. So I narrowed it down to about 4 or 5, and if Zoe leans hard enough on me, I may do 6. But I want us today to talk about that song, "Because He Lives." I want to read you the story about it. If you're familiar with the husband and wife, Bill and Gloria Gaither, they've written over 700 songs. Gloria is the lyricist. She writes the words. And her husband, Bill, is the one who puts it to music. And they make a great team. But here is her own words about how that song came about. "When Bill and I started our family in the 60s, tensions were tearing the country apart. Civil rights activists had suffered and some had been killed. The Vietnam conflict was claiming thousands of lives, and tensions boiled over on university campuses." Many of you can remember those times, a time of real unrest and uncertainty in our country. Many young people were growing disillusioned and dropping out. In this climate, Bill and I sought to write songs with lasting answers to the turmoil of the human spirit. But in the fall of 1969, several things happened to test the reality of our own convictions. We realized that we were expecting another baby. Though we had always intended to have another child, we weren't planning a baby so soon. My body hadn't quite recovered from the last pregnancy, and to make matters worse, Bill contracted mononucleosis, which left him exhausted and depressed. This combination of national turmoil and personal trouble discouraged us, and we occasionally asked each other, if the world is like this now, what will it be like in 15 or 16 years for our baby? Do you ever wonder that? You know, you think about that. What will this child face? While pondering and praying about these things, we came to realize anew that our courage doesn't come from a stable world. For the world has never been stable. Now that's something to get a hold of. Jesus himself was born in the cruelest of times. No, we have babies, raise families, and risk living because the resurrection is true. Our baby arrived safe and sound, and we named him Benjamin, which means most beloved son. A few weeks later, because he lives, was born in our hearts and poured from our souls. The words, how sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Over the years, this song has reassured us that our Lord's resurrection is the central truth of life. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Many times since, as our children grew, our business life changed, our fortune shifted, or our direction clouded, our family has found assurance in this song. It's our song, but we're grateful others have loved it too. So, because he lives, Gloria Gaither wrote these words, "We came to realize anew that our courage doesn't come from a stable world. Our Lord's resurrection is the central truth of life." Now, last Sunday, we gathered and we celebrated our Lord's resurrection. And you know, the very concept that is what gives us real hope going forward in the future. As we celebrated the Lord's resurrection, we focused on its importance. Jesus rising from dead lets us know that he is more than just a man. He is God, as he said. And because of that, we ought to pay attention to what he has to say. That was really what we focused on. He said and told his disciples, we went over those verses in the last few weeks. He told them, this is what's going to happen. I will be arrested, I'll be beaten, I'll be crucified, but I, in 3 days, will rise again. You'll see me again. And those disciples didn't get it, did they? They just couldn't put it all together. We spoke about that underlying that, they had hopes that Messiah was going to show up, kick the Romans out, and when he's in charge, we're going to be in a nice position, our fishing buddies and some of those other guys. But it didn't work out like that. But Jesus had told them, I will see you again. And because of that, it means that he is still alive, he's still around, still available. And it also means that the promises he made are still valid promises to you and I. He can still give us rest. He can still give guidance. He can still give peace to a troubled heart. And he can still save you and I. Because of Christ's resurrection, we can know our sins are forgiven. We can have confidence of peace with God. And that's in that song where the Gaithers wrote, all fear is gone. And we can have hope of life beyond the grave. I want to just kind of put our attention on three thoughts this morning. And the first is this. We sing this song because he lives, and think of the words. Understand this, that there will be uncertain days, maybe on the national or the international stage. If you listen to the political commentators, there's always talk of instability and fears, and sometimes people get shook up as a people, a nation. We know that if you watch the news, Europe is going through potential upheaval, you know, even today. There's a big vote going on over in France, and they're talking about the whole direction of that economy changing up. Look, we'll face uncertain days. You know, it may be nationally, it may be internationally. It may be closer to home, our own community, or maybe even closer to home than that, our own family. And even in our own hearts and minds, there may be some real uncertainty. Here's just two thoughts in relation to that. And Jesus had something to say about that to his disciples. First of all, don't be surprised. Let's take a look at what he told those followers in John chapter 16 and verse 1. And Eddie, if you would pull these verses up, please. Jesus told them, he said, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Now, what was he talking about? Well, he had just got through telling them, guys, you're not going to be the most popular people in town. And let's look at chapter 15, and Eddie, if you'd back up to verses 18 and 19. Jesus had this to say to his disciples. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so therefore it hates you. Now, friends, don't be surprised that you show up to a situation and you feel marginalized. People, maybe your own family, maybe your neighborhood, and you're not trying to go out of your way to make yourself marginalized, but understand if that happens, don't be surprised, and don't be surprised that trouble comes. Jesus went on to say, let's look at the very last verse of this same chapter, chapter 16. He says to his disciples, and we read it many years later, but it still applies. He says, I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, what evidence do you and I have that Jesus overcame the world? I'm just going to give you a clue. Easter Sunday, okay? What happened that we celebrate last week? He was dead, but now he's alive, and he lives forevermore. Because he lives, it means he's still alive, it means he's still accessible, it means he can still give peace, he can still give guidance, and he can still save. And so Jesus was telling his disciples, look, whatever you have got in mind about what you think this is going to look like following me, I'm just letting you know it's not going to look just like that. But don't give up and don't lose heart. So one thing we know is this. We shouldn't be surprised when difficulties come, when challenges to our faith come. But I like what Peter said to some believers. He would go on to say, but don't be deserving of it. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is some instruction for believers, and that includes us. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to read verses 10 through 17. Peter's writing, and he has some things to say to the believers that he's writing. By the way, they're under persecution. They are facing it, and he's wanting to give encouragement. And starting in verse 10, he quotes them some scripture. And he says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. So that's the encouragement. He's saying, look, this is what you ought to be pursuing as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at verse 13. And he writes and says, now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Generally speaking, if you go about doing those kind of things, things are going to move better than if you don't. Would you agree with me? But it doesn't always happen like that. And so let's read the next verse. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. You know, sometimes you just try to do the right thing to honor God, and Murphy's Law, right? You know, you try to do the right thing, and you just get hammered for it. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? Try to do the right thing, and you think, boy, that didn't turn out like I thought it was going to. So Peter's saying, look, don't give up. Verse 15, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. That's something to keep in mind as you and I go about living out our faith, is that we don't get an uppity attitude towards people who aren't seeing it the same way. That we simply go about living out our life as followers of Christ and be ready to give an answer and to do it in a way that's respectful to those who hear it. And look at, this is what we really want to bear down on. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants, than to suffer for what? For doing wrong. So, you know, we live in an uncertain world, and sometimes even when you and I set out to honor the Lord, it's met with a different kind of response than what we expect. Don't give up. Don't be surprised by it. But we understand, don't be deserving of it as well. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let's take a look at the second thought, and that is this. There will be sorrow, but there will also be joy. Let's go back to chapter 16 of John. John 16. Jesus is speaking about his coming death and resurrection to his disciples. One of the many times he spoke to them about it. I want to read here verses 16 through 22. And here's what he says. In a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that you will see me again. Some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I am going to my Father. And what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. Remember we said they were kind of confused about all of this that was going on. Just to kind of help kind of fill the picture in, you know, what had happened on the previous Sunday? Jesus came into Jerusalem. The word was out. People were putting their clothes down in the street and cutting branches and saying, here he is. Hosanna. Messiah is here. And it was all moving in a good direction. So they were confused. Let's read on. Jesus realized, this is verse 19, they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while, you won't see me, but a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. For those disciples, there was sorrow and there was endurance, but Jesus said, that's not the end of the story. You'll have a joy that no one can take from you. And friends, this song that kind of points us and says, because Jesus rose there on that day from the grave, you're going to face uncertainty and you're going to face sorrow in this world, but you will have a joy that nobody can take from you. Aren't you glad for that? You know, when you and I go through our lives, and one of our dear families in this church is going through one of the most difficult circumstances a family can endure, a loss of a child. Families go through these heartaches. But for the child of God, for the believer, we understand there may be sorrow for a time, but there ultimately is joy for us. And there is ultimately life with God. I want to quickly read a passage, and then I've got one more thought from this song I want us to take a look at. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Paul was writing about future glory. And I want to put just an exclamation point on this from the scripture. What Paul was writing about, he says this, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Sometimes in our lives, do you ever just groan and say, Lord, could you just deliver us from what is going on? That's what Paul was feeling. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And that's what that song sings about, because he lives. It is a note of confident faith to say, because he lives, we'll live also. You know, I want to just read you the third verse of this song. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. On Wednesdays, there's a group of folks from here at the church and some others from other ministries in the community that go over to the nursing home. Tony and Ann lead that ministry, been doing it for over 10 years now. And we sing this song, and we come to that verse. I'm looking out at a group of people. Most of them are in their 80s. Some are in their 90s. We've had people who are 100 years of age in there. And I think about that verse because they're getting closer and closer to home. We don't know it, but we are too. Every day you and I live. This last thought, and that is this. In the meantime, learn to rely on God. And I want to read you a passage that Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We know that life is uncertain, both on the national and international scene. You know, I think about this. I'm interested in history, and my ears really perk up when I hear about things. You know, we can't live in the past, but if we don't learn lessons from the past, you know the old saying, those who fail to learn lessons from the past are what? Condemned to repeat them. And so the past is instructive for us, but you know, we understand that God's got something for us, and we're looking towards that. Let me read these verses here. In the meantime, you know, uncertain world, we understand that, okay, there's going to be sorrow, and we're going to go through difficulties and challenges here in this life. I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be the cause of them, if at all possible. Sometimes you can't even help it. It just happens, okay? That's the nature of life here. But in the meantime, we are encouraged to learn to rely on God. And this is what Paul speaks about to the believers. Let me read verses 3 through 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. You know, that says something. It's not just about us. When God brings comfort to you as you've gone through a trial, his expectation is that you and I will take what we have learned and what we've gotten and offer it to somebody else. Aren't you glad when somebody did that to you and did that for you? For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. It's when they were taking the gospel out. We read about it when we studied the book of Acts, where Paul and that band of believers, men and women, went out with the gospel. It wasn't a cakewalk. I mean, you read about it and you understand what they went through. And he says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. Now, when somebody says, I didn't know if I was going to live through that, you can take their word for it. Things were not good. But here's what he went on to say. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on what? ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. What does that point back to? That points back to the resurrection of Jesus once again. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. And in the meantime, we can learn to rely on God. And that's what we do when we gather here. That's what you do when you open up your Bibles at home. By the way, we threw a challenge out there at the beginning of the year and challenged the church to read through the whole New Testament. And I just want to remind you of it. I'm not going to be chasing you around. I just want to remind you that's a challenge for our church. Some have said, Bruce, I'm reading it and I can't even put it down. I've had some folks say that it's just been a challenge to them. And so keep that in mind. Because he lives, I've asked Eddie to bring the song up. And in our closing time today, we're going to have a time of invitation. I want us to sing the song. And the words will be up on the screen. And I want us to sing about it and understand what is being said. And maybe today you wandered in here just about beaten down and struggling. And today to understand that the strength to move on in a life following Christ is not of ourselves. He says, rely on him and find out that he can give us what he needs. And so today, that consideration, because he lives. Let me ask you to stand. I'm going to get over here and get ready to play this. Eddie will bring the words up. We're going to sing it. We're going to pray. And the invitation is in this very song in this time, because he lives. If you have not yet put your faith in Christ, let me encourage you today to cease from trusting in your own efforts and recognize what God says. He says we were created in his image, but because of the fall of humanity, we've been scarred and marred by sin, and there is a distance, and that is bridged by his own provision. That's why Jesus died on the cross. It's God's world. It's God's plan. And he says, if you'll trust in him, you'll know forgiveness and you'll enter into a relationship with him. There's a lot we need to learn. There's a lot that God gives us. But let's sing this song. We'll see if you sing it as well as the folks in the nursing home. Certain days because he lives.
can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth living just because he
I think you did sing it better than the folks at the nursing home. Yeah. Before we leave today, we're going to close in prayer. But let me just encourage you, if you have questions about your faith, you'd like to know, you'd like to put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, we will hang around here. Just come and open the Bible. We'll show you what it says. If you are a believer, and some of these very things we talked about today have just really been a struggle, just simply pray and ask God to give you strength and rely on him. Also, you're in the right place. Other believers who can gather around you and give you encouragement in this walk. Don't try to go it alone. That's not what he intended. That's why he called together a body. That's why he said he loves the church. And so let me just encourage you. We're going to bow our heads and pray. I'd like to ask Hoss if you would close our service today. And again, if there's anything on your heart you want to pray about, we'll remain here at the front to take time to pray with you.